All right, praise the Lord on this beautiful, I think this is July the 14th, is that right? Sunday morning. Last Sunday was the 7th, I guess it's the 14th, and a beautiful day the Lord's given us, gathering His house. And we done been blessed already, just fellowshipping, and we're getting ready to start in the teaching of the Word of God. We're in Proverbs right now. Pray that not only, Lord, that You'd bless our efforts, but I pray You'd make Your words known to us, open them up to us. Although we know that the natural man, he can't receive the things of God because he's spiritually discerned. But us which are saved, spiritual, we're able to partake of the things of God. And I pray, God, You'll set a table from Your Word today. Let us, I pray, eat of the heavenly manna. Let us not only receive Your Word, but let us, I pray, be doers, not hearers only. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
We're in Proverbs chapter 1. I stopped last week on purpose at verse 21. And there's some real good scripture there in those first 21 verses. But the reason I stopped at the end of verse 21 is because of how this changes in verse 22. Proverbs chapter 1 all the way down to verse 21, it's been Solomon speaking. In verse 22, it takes a turn, and now it's God speaking. And I'll elaborate on that here in a minute. But in verse 22, God, doing the speaking here, says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" I'll prove here in a minute this is God doing the speaking. But God's pretty much saying here in this verse, what's it going to take?
Yeah.
Now, I see where the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. And, you know, like Peter said, there were scoffers in those days, and there'll be scoffers in our days, and they'll mock, make fun of us and say, you know, I'm glad I got something better to do than go sit down and listen to some guy rant and rave. All that's okay till God shows up.
Right.
Now, when God shows up, playtime's over. I know we've got every kind of ACLU, we've got Antifa, whatever it is, all kinds of infidels, all kinds of heathens, all kinds of people that have no idea at all about the one that inhabits eternity.
Right.
I used to be one of them, so I can speak about it pretty fluently. And, you know, I thought God was my enemy. I thought, you know, if I ever have anything to do with God, then I won't be able to have no fun no more. And I have to admit I was a liar. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. I've had more fun since I got saved than I ever had when I was lost. But God here, He's pretty much saying, what's it going to take? He says, how long? And I'm convinced that God's willing to wait however long it would take. But for some people, there's no end.
Right.
They're never going to. They're reprobate. They're rebels. They resist, like Peter, Stephen said. They do always resist the Holy Spirit of God. They're stiff-necked. They'll never receive the gospel message. God says, "How long, you simple ones?" Simple ones. That means that they don't want to know.
Right.
I used to be one of them. I thought, as long as I don't know, I'm innocent.
That's right.
There's some truth to that. Because the Bible said, where there's no law, sin is not imputed. Right there, those Ten Commandments. The heathen that doesn't know the Ten Commandments can't be held with regard to the Ten Commandments because he don't know them. So the Bible said, where there's no law, sin is not imputed. So to some degree, they won't have a greater judgment than someone that knows those Ten Commandments and still disobeys. There's all kinds of degrees of hell. There's all kinds of degrees of judgment. There'll be all kinds of things people have to answer for. But these simple ones, they just want to keep it simple. They don't want to know the deep things of God. They just want to somehow live a life apart from God. And that's, by the way, that's a selfish life. They want to live a life in simplicity. Well, you know, all I want is some beer and to have an old lady and just be left alone. Look, that's a simple, selfish, rebellious life.
Yes.
I don't know really where the lesson's going to go because I'm teaching off the cuff. But you know, I used to have that same mind.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want anybody knocking on my door. I didn't want them giving me a tract.
No.
I didn't want them inviting me to church. I was one of these simple ones here. God's addressing them. He said, how long, you simple ones? That was me. We love simplicity. I could actually call it stupid ones because I'm stupid. You know the song that said in Psalms 34 verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
I had never tasted.
That's right.
I had no idea what I was missing out on. And I can somewhat be sympathetic to these that are where I used to be. Because they don't know what they're missing out on. I had never heard the songs of Zion. I had never had the Holy Spirit just fill my cup till it run out my eyeballs.
Yeah.
And wiping tears. And just wondering, how can this not cost me nothing?
Yeah.
Just to get blessed and just to be able to enjoy a good blessing there. And I mean, just woo-hoo!
Right.
Get some of that right there, you know. And I was somewhat simple, somewhat stupid. I was missing out. God said, how long? And the scorners. Oh, man, I was the worst. I made so many jokes about church, about preachers.
Mm-hmm.
God, one of them just come to my mind. I didn't even want it to come to my mind. But we just laugh and make fun.
That's right.
And really had no regard for any consequences to that. Just didn't care. Somehow thought, well, you know, God's love. Well, He is. But He's also God of war. He's God of peace.
Yeah.
He's a God of judgment, too.
Oh, yeah.
And scorners. It just sort of seemed like competition. You had to tell one better than the other one. Scorners delight in their scornings. And fools hate knowledge. In other words, I didn't just not want to know. I hated the fact that others knew something I didn't know. And I don't know if I need to put this in context or not, but they actually hate what they need.
Yeah.
They don't only resist it. They don't only refuse it. They don't only reject it. They hate the fact that they know they shouldn't do it. That they should draw nigh to God. They should come to know Him personally as their Lord and Savior. Well, God here, He's reasoning with people like that. Now, verse 22, this is pretty passionate, turn you at my reproof. Know what God says? You know, God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Now, let me explain that. I couldn't even get lost without the help of God.
That's right.
I couldn't. I mean, I have to admit, first time I heard a man of God preach the word of God, I got under condemnation. I got under conviction. I was convinced I was going to hell, and it took God to do that. I couldn't get myself lost. The Bible said God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, and I had never heard no preaching. I'd never been in the presence of preaching. I'd somehow avoided it. I'd evaded it. I didn't want any part of it. And I was that fool He talked about the hate of knowledge. But when I did finally make my way into the house of God, when I did come into the congregation, when I did sit in the sanctuary, I just want you to know it wasn't comfortable. I want you to know there wasn't no place to hide.
That's right.
I want you to know even on the back row back there ducking down, God's Spirit still dealt with me. God says, turn you at my reproof. God gave me an opportunity. You see what I mean? I was that fool in verse 22. But I also was that fool that turned in 23. God says, turn you at my reproof. I was reproved and rebuked in the house of God. He said, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto God. He won't withhold any good thing from you.
That's right.
He wants you to have the Holy Spirit.
Yes, He does.
Now, I have to admit, some people claim to have more than me. And it may seem that they do. But I'm convinced that God gave us all the same amount. And some may suppress and some may, I don't know, supernaturally overdo it. But anyway, God give us of His Spirit, and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, Romans chapter 8, that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. That's probably Sister Sharon.
Yeah.
Allergies.
Well, I just about time, amen. Sister Bonnie just got here. This is Brother Donnie Houchins.
Hey, sis.
He's one I'm always giving down the road while I'm preaching. That's him.
Oh.
My friend Donnie. Bonnie knows him. But anyway, he told me he wanted to come today. I said, boy, this be a good day to come.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyway, we're in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. And God says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Now notice the conditions. God says, if you'll turn, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Now, God's a reasonable God. That's why He said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. He's no respecter of persons. I don't have to worry about not having no hair.
That's right.
When I get to heaven, I'm going to embarrass the Beatles. I don't have to worry about not having no gold. I do have a wedding ring. I just don't have it on. And I don't know why. When we worked at Dollars, you weren't allowed to wear them. That's why I don't have it on. I don't know if it even fit anymore or not. But anyway, I don't have any gold necklace, no gold rings. I don't have anything fancy. Y'all look at that old truck out there and just tell them I'm pretty much common, modest, pearl, common man. God says to people like that, He says, turn you at my reproof. He says, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make my words, I will make known my words unto you. Now God has to help you with every bit of that.
Right. Yeah.
God helped me get lost. At His reproof, I got lost. And at His mercy, I got saved.
Amen.
And at reading His word, I got learning some Bible. He made His words known to me. Now listen, I'll tell you, I've had a lot of Bible reading under my belt. Not only have I personally read the Bible through 70 times, I listen to three sets of Bible on tape, worn completely out. I mean, they just plain old broke. But I'd be driving down the road, listening to Alexander Gorby reading the Bible, and I'd pull the truck over, and I says, there ain't no way that's in there. And I'd get my Bible, and sure enough, let God be true, and anyway, yeah. It was a lie, it was in there.
Right.
And I go a little further and he says something else. I said, that cannot be like that. I get that Bible out. I proofread it. See in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, talking about them Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica,
yeah.
And that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind,
yeah.
And they searched the scriptures daily,
right.
Where those things were so. I looked and sure enough, it was so.
Yeah.
So Sharon, I settled it right there.
Mm-hmm.
God made His word known to me. I learned a lot of Bible listening to Alexander Scorby reading as I'd be driving to Indiana, picking up Flint or driving to Sonora. That's a pretty good time to do some Bible listening on. You know, one thing about reading your Bible, and I did this a lot, and playing those tapes, was you get it twofold. You get it through the eye gate, you get it through the ear gate, and you learn how to pronounce those words. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was really doing it to learn how to pronounce the words, but I was getting it twofold. But God here, I started at verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scornings or scorning and fools hate knowledge? God, the reasonable God says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. I need to clean my glass off evidently. I can't even read this morning. But God, the reasonable God, the God of heaven, the God that died for us, that loved us. Paul said of a truth, Christ Jesus come to this world to save sinners. He loves sinners. And He tells sinners, turn, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. Now it gets pretty serious right here, verse 24. Now the reasonable God has spoken two verses. He says, because I have called. Now we got caller ID now. Donnie, he looks, he says, that's Brother Ed, I ain't answering that. And I look and said, Brother Donnie, I ain't answering that. But you see, we got caller ID.
Yep.
And we look and we decide whether we want to answer or not.
Amen.
I ain't Brother Donnie because he's my brother and my friend.
Yeah.
And he knows me and I know him. And
amen.
We give each other down the road.
Amen.
But we all do this. We look and see that caller ID and say, I ain't answering that. But God said, I called.
Yes.
He don't have called ID, Brother Ed.
No.
But we know when God's called in opponents.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, you read about old Samuel there, he kept running to Eli, and Eli said, "That's not me, that's the Lord."
Yeah.
He said, "Go tell him, Lord, thy servant heareth thee." But God called him three times. One of the greatest prophets Israel ever had was Samuel. But, you know, God called. God said, "I have called, look, and ye refused."
Yes.
You say, "God won't make you get saved. I know people all the time, and you can't make me." Well, God won't make you get saved, but I'll make you wish you got saved.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that, sir. That's right.
Yeah.
He probably make you wish you hadn't got saved, but he won't make you get saved.
No.
And I seen a license plate one time as I was coming around the square, and it said, "Heaven won't have me, and hell's afraid I'll take over." And I thought, and I've been there myself.
Yeah.
I have to admit, just mind contrary to God's will, God's love. But anyway, God said, "Because I have called," the reasonable God speaking here, says, "Because I've called and ye refused," he said, "I have stretched out my hand."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just call, he said, he stretched his hand out. He said, "Let me help you."
That's right.
Now, I don't know that Bessie will be here today. That's Mitchell's sister. I've talked to her twice on the phone. And she was able to come last Sunday and said, "Get nothing to wear." I told Mitchell to get her something to wear. She said she's going to be here today. But with this verse right here in mind, you see, God can't help someone till they take him by the hand.
Amen.
See, Peter's sinking in the sea. And he says, "Lord, help me." And the Bible, the next verse says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Pulled him up out of the waves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God says, "I've stretched out my hand. No man regarded it." In other words, they said, "I'll go anywhere but there." You know, a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
Right.
They need God's help, but they won't go to God to get it. Now, I know y'all know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they'll go everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take... it's a sad commentary. We got plenty of time. My uncle, Dole Mathis. Anybody know Dole Mathis? You know him?
Yeah.
Okay, he married my aunt, Marty. They both passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But Dole, he was dying of cancer. And I just got saved. Now, I didn't know a whole lot. And so since I didn't know a whole lot, I lost 40 pounds. I'm fasting and praying.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know really a whole lot about fasting or even praying. But I was praying for my dad to get saved. And as I'm praying for my dad to get saved, God kind of put Dole on my heart. So I'm praying for my dad and Dole both. And as I'm praying for Dole, I ain't letting up. And I'm praying hard for Dole. And this sort of seemed like Lord put in my heart, go over and see Dole. And I'll tell you what the conclusion of this whole thing was there in a minute. So I was mowing the yard, and while I'm on the yard, I'm praying, "Lord, help my uncle, dog. Lord, help my dad get saved." I didn't let up. I mean, I'm praying and fasting. And I look like a refugee. I mean, I'm just getting bold. I wasn't letting up. Back then, I could fast. I've tried to fast. I still fast a little. But I can't fast like I did back then. I could go several days without eating or drinking or anything back then. I
could.
About one day now. But anyway, I drive over to their house. They lived up on Walnut Street. My Uncle Dole's out in the front yard talking with his neighbor, and I pull in. And I got out of my truck, and I walked up there, and Dole and my neighbor's talking. Dole and his neighbor's talking. And I said, "Dole, I've been praying for you, and I just wanted you to know I believe the Lord will help you if you'll bring your situation to Him." And his neighbor said, "Dole, this young man's telling you right. You need to bring your situation to the Lord." Now, I'm going to tell you what Dole told me and him. He said, "No, they've come out with a new pill, and I'm trusting in that new pill."
Oh.
I was his pallbearer within 2 weeks. You see, some people, God can't help.
That's right.
God said, "I've called." God said, "I've stretched out my hand." Now, I looking back on that, I think God wanted to show me why He couldn't answer my prayer.
Right.
I prayed for Dole. Loved him. I was young. And, you know, I kind of looked up to him. His, you know, one of the family members I liked a lot. I liked Doyle. But God says, I've called and he refused. I stretched out my hand and no man of God. A lot of people like Doyle. They won't let God help them.
Right.
No.
They'll listen to anybody but God.
Yeah.
They'll go through any treatment. They'll go through any torment, any surgery, any medical science, whatever. There are people nowadays that have their heads cut off, have them frozen. Anything but go to God. To them, God's a byword. Well, with that thought in mind, God says, no man regarded. He said, but you said it not. In other words, they don't want nothing to do with God. Y'all probably witnessed the people said, I don't want nothing to do with God. I don't want nothing to do with church. I don't want to hear it. You give them a tract, they'll take it, they'll throw it down, and they might even step on it. I don't know. But God here, he said, you said it not. All my counsel, and with none of my reproof. Reproof is like a warning. In other words, God give a man a heart attack. Good example right here. You might know Larry Rivers.
Amen.
I grew up with Larry Rivers.
Yeah.
I've known him since he's 6 years old. We used to call him Red. His hair was just pure red. We called him Red. That was his name. Called him Red. It's white now. He looked like one of the dwarfs on Snow White. Anyway, Larry had a heart attack. We got on up in years. And like I said, I got saved and we became no more good friends. I couldn't even have anything to do with him at all. And for his benefit and mine, we couldn't really be acquaintances. I still cared a lot about him. But somebody told me he had a heart attack. I went up to the hospital and he's in intensive care. I walk in there and like I said, Larry's hair, it's now it's snow white from all the drinking because I did that too. But anyway, Larry's in there. And there's blood coming out of his nose, there's blood coming out of his ears, there's blood coming out of his eyes, it's all in his hair. He's completely just laying there. I thought he's dead, really. And I'm weeping over him. And I said, oh, Lord, couldn't you save Larry? Couldn't you somehow let him get saved? And while I'm praying over Larry, he comes to. It scares me and him. I mean, he kicks back like he thinks, what am I in heaven or what? And I'm kicking back, man, I thought you was dead. But anyway, here's what Larry said when he come to. He said, pray for me that God will let me live. And if God will let me live, I'll come to church and I'll get saved. That's probably 20 years ago. I was thrilled to death. I said, dear Lord, did you just hear what I heard? Would you please grant Larry the opportunity to come to church and get saved? He got better immediately. Got out of church, got out of the hospital. And every time I see him, I say, Larry, remember that vow you made? When are you coming? Maybe one of these days.
Oh,
see what I mean?
Yeah,
people do that.
Yeah. Larry's a good example of what God's saying right here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He said, you said it not. In other words, Larry's never going to come here. He has no idea what's in his Bible. I didn't know neither. I mean, I never read the Bible. I've never been in church. I never heard singing like... Well, I take that back. When I was a little boy, I remember going to Vacation Bible School. I remember they sung some songs. But you know what? Not like when you get saved. I had never heard them. But you know, I come in the house of God, a stranger of the commonwealth of Israel, of the covenant of God, not knowing anything of what I needed to know and knowing all the things I didn't need to know. But anyway, Larry, just taking it for instance here, he said it not all God's counsel. He would none of God's reproof. He don't want nothing to do with God. Now God granted him the opportunity to get out of the hospital.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
I wish I had a picture of him. I'd like to show it to him. Hey Larry, remember this day?
Yeah.
Because I mean he looked dead to me. I never seen nobody in that kind of condition. I've seen some rough ones. That's the roughest. I thought he's dead. I'm weeping over him. I'm crying profusely because I've known Larry all my life. Lord, couldn't have let him at least get saved? And I don't know, maybe God let him come through just for that purpose. I don't know. I'll just tell you one thing. Larry's still yet to come. Every time I see him, I remind him. But God here, He's not going to put up with that forever.
No.
God said, you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You know the world? They want the things of the world. They want the fun.
Yes.
They want the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God.
Right.
They want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season like Moses instead of choosing Christ over Pharaoh. Well, all that's going to end. And not only it's going to end, God here tells how it's going to end.
Right.
He said, I also will laugh at your calamity. You see, when nothing's wrong, you don't really think much about eternity. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Who fixed that hair this morning?
Woo! Best I could do.
Done good. Well, when everything's going right, you don't really think much about God.
It's not like I'm really.
But when the pains of death set in, you know what you do? You don't call for a doctor. You call somebody go get a preacher.
Yeah.
I want to talk to him. You see, you want to try to somehow patch it up.
Yeah.
You want to know there ain't hope for me. We're talking about hope. Right before the Sunday school lesson, you want to try to find out if there's any hope left for you. And I'll tell you this, if you haven't died, there's hope.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I'll tell you, praise God, I'm glad there is hope.
Amen.
Man, oh man.
Amen.
And there's no hope in nothing else, but there's hope down in God. Amen.
Yes.
But God says, I'll laugh at your calamity. In other words, when it all starts falling in on you. When your health failing you, and your heart's failing you, and you can't go no more, and it's all your own fault, God said, I'll laugh at your calamity, I'll mock when your fear cometh. Now, there's not very many scriptures in the Bible about God laughing, but every one of them are not good. Look at Psalms chapter 2, verse 4. If you want to, Psalms chapter 2, verse 4. One of the times that God laughed. Now, God's laughing here at the one world order. In Psalms chapter 2, it kind of gives a pretense to the one world order. Why do the heathen wait? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against His anointed, saying, let us break their band asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, they want a life apart from God.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of all the preachers, all the churches. They want nothing but the world to themselves, somewhat of a selfish thing. Notice verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens. I want you to know God is on the throne that's above every throne. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He that sitteth in the heavens shall what? Laugh. God's going to laugh at all of this power, all these nuclear submarines, nuclear weapons, all of this satellite technology. God laughs at that.
That's right. Yes, He does.
God will have them in derision. Boy, it's kind of foolish how men's minds work. They can somehow think they can make it to heaven without God with a spaceship. That's stupid. Especially when God already provided a way there. Paid the way there, and all they got to do is accept it. But that's what all that space exploration is about. They're trying to figure out a way to heaven without God. All right, Psalms 37, verse 13. Psalms 37, verse 13. We'll read verse 12. The wicked, well, read verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. Look at verse 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. See, the wicked think somehow they can get ahead by taking advantage of you, by stealing what you got, by maybe doing other things. They're never going to get ahead. And God laughs at them because they can't take advantage of the meek. That, you know, greater is He that's in us, He that's in the world. God be for you, who can be against you. I told Brother Ed, I helped a lady out Friday night, broke down in my driveway. Her name was Sarah. And she may show up here today. I don't know. I invited her to come. But I done the best I could. I found her a tire and a wheel and put it on her car. Got her going. But she talked about the Bible. Talked about God. We had some pretty good conversation. But, you know, God's the only way I know how to get ahead. You know, I'm complete in Him. I ain't lacking nothing. I got everything I need. He daily supplies my needs. He daily loads me down with benefits. Yeah. Psalms 59, verse 8. Again, talking about the wicked. We'll start verse 5. Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, look, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. See light. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. They go around about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doeth here? But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. I'm just glad that God that told Abraham, fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield. Your exceeding great reward is the reason I sleep like a baby.
Yeah.
I don't worry about nothing.
No.
I don't worry about the house burning down. If it does, I'm kind of like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I'm fireproof. I really am. The Bible says the fire will not kindle against you. Because he set his affection upon us, the fire won't kindle against us. The flood won't overtake us. No weapon formed against us can prosper. I'm good to go. I sleep like a baby. My wife said, I wish I could sleep like you. I said, it's easy, honey. Just get right with God. She said, I'll knock your eye out. I said, it's a package deal. I'm telling the truth, you know what I mean? I said, hey, if you ain't, at least act like you're right with God. Quit trying to kill me. But anyway, God here, he's addressing these heathen. And he said, I'm going to laugh. You know, when the trouble comes, it's going to come in a moment.
Yeah.
God said, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. Mm-hmm. I'm going to mock when your fear comes. They don't fear God right now, but they're going to.
Yeah.
Any of y'all know Richard Wheeler? I don't know if he still goes down to Brotherhood or not, but he did go to Brother Donnie's church down at Brotherfield Baptist Church. Richard Wheeler come to me at Donnie's. And he said, Brother Eddie, he said, God has dealt with me so many times and I've never responded. And he said, now God don't deal with me no more. What do I need to do? And I said, Richard, I'll tell you what I do. I said, God showed you He's interested.
That's right.
I said, won't you show God you're interested? I said, I'll be there every time a door's open.
Right.
It wasn't 2 weeks he got saved. He come, he said, woohoo! He said, I got saved. I said, wonderful. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? It just took a little bit of effort. Hey, come on in here. Praise the Lord. God said, I'll mock when your fear cometh. You know, I don't have any fear. And the reason I don't have any fear is because I fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is clean. The fear of the Lord tendeth to health, tendeth to life. It's a good thing to fear God.
That's right.
Because when you fear God, God honors you for doing it. He don't have to give you any reason to fear Him. Y'all probably don't get this like I'm saying, but it's natural. I feared my parents, but in the right way. I wasn't afraid of them. If I knew when they told me to do something, I better do it, and the consequence was going to be that. But it's the same kind of way I'm going about with the fear of God. I respected them. I reverenced them. I loved them. They loved me. We had a perfect relationship. They spoiled me to death. And God does the same with me. He spoils me. Donnie was just out my house yesterday. And, you know, I'm just common man living in a common dwelling place, but it suits me well. I showed him a trailer. I showed him a back porch been working on there and a bunch of junk piled back in the back. It couldn't be no better for me. That's
amen.
I love it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be happy anywhere else. Well, God here says, I'll mock when your fear comes. See, they don't want to turn at God's reproof. They don't want to they don't want anything to do with God. They said it not at His counsel. They would nothing to do with Him.
Yeah.
God said, I'll mock when your fear cometh. There comes a day when you realize you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation. That's worst case scenario.
Right.
We was talking in here just before Sunday school lesson. My wife, she's got a book called Voices from Eternity. And in that book, there's several people in there that died lost. Donnie was talking about someone that he knew that died lost and said, the flames, they're coming to get me. Well, in this book, I'll bring it sometime, I'll read some excerpts from it. This guy was dying in his bed and his family's all around him. And he said, he pulled the sheet up. He said, "Help me. They're coming for me." He said, "Help me. They've got chains. They're dragging me down. They're dragging me down in the flames. Help me." And hell left the room. And buddy, I mean, he died right there. But you see, when it comes like that, he didn't say it. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, one said, "Lord, remember me."
Yeah.
Another one never said nothing.
Right.
They both had the same access. Both had the same opportunity. One received, one rejected.
Mm-hmm.
One rejoiced, one refused. That's that way for a reason. Everybody ain't going to get saved. Everybody can. They both could have been with Him in paradise. God says, "When your fear cometh as desolation," I'm glad I don't ever have to worry about dying without God. But I will tell you this, there were a lot of days of my life, I was afraid to close my eyes. I remember I was about 10 years old, Brother Jerry. I was afraid to go to sleep. I'll tell you exactly why I was afraid to go to sleep. I was afraid I'd wake up in hell. I'd been to some like vacation Bible school or something, you know?
Yeah.
And even though it was kind of like on the kindergarten level, it exposed me to the fact that one day I was going to die.
Yeah.
Where was I going to spend eternity? And as an older man, at the age of 34 years old, I'd done something about it. But I can remember being afraid to close my eyes, thinking, what if I wake up in hell? What will I do? Well, God does His best. He said, "I've called, stretched out my hand. How long?" He said, "I've waited." He says, "When your fear cometh as desolation," that's worse case scenario, "and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind." In other words, they try everything known to science, known to man. They said there's nothing more we can do. They call hospice, and you're sitting there really just watching yourself die.
Mm-hmm.
God says, "Your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." Now, this next verse is going to catch you off guard here. I said this wasn't Solomon talking. Here's why I said this wasn't Solomon talking. "Then shall they call upon me." They're not going to call upon Solomon.
That's right. That's God's
speech. He said, "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." And here's why. God explains that verse. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Verse 30, "They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." God tried everything He could.
Yes.
Like I said, now you take a man like Saul. Now, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And zealous, he was as zealous as a person could be. He was willing to die for what he did. He was killing Christians. He was making havoc of churches. And he was on his way to Damascus. He had in his hand letters from the chief priest to bind any that he found of that way and bring them up that they could be put to death.
Yeah.
Now finally, he run in head on. Not a close encounter. He read head on into Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he did? "Who art thou?"
Yeah.
He's been persecuting Christians. And he runs into the chief of the Christians, the captain of our salvation, the head of the church, Brother Ed. He said, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
He said, "I'm Jesus." Now, I'm just going to guess he probably thought that was a limp wrist, puny little Jew. But I'll tell you what, buddy, when he saw Jesus, it wasn't what he thought.
That's right.
He fell down as dead.
Yeah, he did.
Sure did.
And I'll tell you what, he said, "What would you have me to do?" I mean, he immediately got enlightened. He didn't make any, he didn't have to go through no 10-step program or nothing. He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, we all done some degree of that, I guess, growing up.
Yeah,
I know I did.
Sure,
every time God deal with me, I'd kick it out. Then I somehow resist, somehow escape. I remember my grandfather coming up talking to me about getting saved. I'm sitting there thinking, I had a beer behind my back, a pass blue ribbon behind my back, and my shirt all in my field. And my God, the grandfather, horsefly, I sure wish you get saved. I love you. I'm praying for you. And I'm sitting there thinking, Papa, I'm 18. I didn't say this. Said it in my mind. I just thought it. I thought, "Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81, but not 18, Papa Ed." And I looked down, big tears dripping off of his cheeks. And I'd like to have that opportunity again. I take advantage of it. But anyway, I got saved at the age of 34 years old. But Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He got in line real quick. He said, "Lord, what would you have me do?" God told him to go to the house of Ananias. And he said, "He'll pray for you that your sight will be recovered."
Right.
And I guess that's where they got contact lenses from. They fell off his eyes like scales. I guess that's where they learned how to make contacts. I don't know. But anyway, most of the things that we take for granted come out of the Bible, believe it or not. If you know enough Bible, you know what I'm saying there. I mean, who done the first surgery? Who done the first anesthesiology? Caused a deep sleep come on Adam. And opened up his flesh, took out a rib, closed it up. God done it all first. All through there, just you name it, it's all through there. Chronological order, I guess. But let's see where we're at time-wise here. We'll stop right here. I need to finish this on out.
Yeah.
God says, "For the turn away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." In other words, they've got the mind of the world, and they see some people turning away. And they see some people prospering. They say, "What about that and there? Look yonder, they got barns, bigger barns." Kind of like that guy in Luke 12.
Yeah.
One year his crop brought forth plenty, and he said, "I'll say to myself, soul, that's much good laid up for many years. I'll tell them my barn, build bigger barns." And the next verse, God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." I'll tell you right now, the mind of this world gets you messed up.
Yeah, boy.
Look at verse 33. We'll stop right here. "But whoso," that means you put your name right here. In other words, you can say, "But Bonnie, hearken unto God. She'll dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil." You can put your name right there, but whoso, that means whosoever.
That's right.
Anybody can put their name there. Mm-hmm. God's will towards us is good. When Angel Gabriel came down to announce the birth of Christ, he said, "Peace on earth. Good will towards me." God's will towards us is good. We're the ones that's contrary to our own good. We're the ones who won't let God take His rightful place upon the throne of our heart and lead and be Lord in our life. We're the ones that makes all the terrible mistakes and pay the price of it and all that right there. We'll stop right there. That Proverbs chapter 1. I stopped last week purposely on verse 22 because it turns. That's God doing the speaking. It's one of the most stern warnings I know of in the Bible. There's others, but that's one of them. And we'll stop right there and maybe get an opportunity to fellowship a little bit. I ain't never had this many people in Sunday school.